after Memorial Day edition of Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Stroop with you from the Gruber Law Offices One Call, That's All Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Producer Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Mr. Relevant brought to you by our friends at Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, and award-winning spirits made locally in Door County. So no show Monday because of the holiday. So that means we're coming off like 5 days of reaction. We've got Brewers reaction. We've got Packers reaction. We've got some power rankings to kick out. We've got a team that's already punched their ticket to the NBA Finals with a former Buck playing point guard. Another team looking to match them with a former Bucks head coach as their head coach in Dallas. So we'll get into some NBA reaction as well. So good to be back with you here on this Wednesday. And man, look, the weekend was great, dude. Outside all the rain, the weekend's great. Weather's great. Summer's here. It feels real. I'm very happy about that. Hunter, I feel like I haven't talked to you in an eternity. How are you, bro? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Went and saw the new Mad Max movie over the weekend. It was a good time.
hold on. Time out. How was that? Did you go by yourself?
Of course I went by myself. I feel like we've talked about this before. I don't see the point in going to movies with other people because I'm just going to be quiet for 3 hours anyways. So, and there's no way I was going to convince my wife to ever see Mad Max, or this was called Furiosa, but like a big action movie that's violent and has cars in it. Like, that's not happening. So yeah, I went by myself, had a great time.
All right. Well, I'm happy to hear that. How would you rank it out of 10?
I would give it an 8 out of 10. I think it's the second best of all of the Mad Max movies, with the last one being the best. So I was very happy with it.
Would it be surprising to you if I told you I've seen none of them?
No. I just assume that any movie I've seen, you haven't seen it.
Yeah, no, that's a fair thing to operate under, fair idea to operate under. So, fair enough. So, Wednesdays, Hunter, I didn't talk about this last week on the show. Wednesdays, as of last week, I've signed up for a bags league or cornhole, whatever you want to call it. Me and the lady go to a bar up the street, and we play bags. And last week was week one. And my understanding when I got into this was it's just kind of like a loose league. You just show up, you play a couple games, you have a couple drinks from Door County Distillery, and then you go on with your life, right? That's just a Wednesday activity to do all summer long, which started last week. Last Wednesday, I got my ass kicked so far up the block that it is really like stopping me from wanting to go ever again. Hunter, so we show up last week, and the commissioner, I guess you could say, who hosts the bags league, he's the owner of the bar. He calls out, yeah, we've got two new teams in the league this year, so we're going to match them up with one another here in week one of the league. We're like, okay, great. It's another couple about our age. So we're thinking, okay, this will be fun. You know, probably just similar idea, right? Bar up the street, just looking for something to do on a Wednesday night. We walk over to our board, and they have their own bags.
Oof.
And I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting play. And I start talking to the guy because I'm matched up with him, and his girlfriend is across the way with mine. And I say to him, I go, yeah, you play a lot of bags, right? Just little small talk, Hunter. Just small talk. And he goes, yeah, I'm in four every week.
Oh, my God. That's obscene.
So essentially, yeah, right? Like, it's completely absurd. And so at that moment, I'm like, okay, this dude has nothing else to do? Or, like, he just really enjoys bags. It's one or the other, or maybe both. So I go, okay. My goal is just to hold my own then. Game one, we lose 21-2.
Ouch.
Yeah, you play three games. It's not best of three. You play three games no matter what. Game two, we lose 21-3. So at least we're getting better.
Yeah, a little
right?
bit better. You know, closing that gap.
Score one more point than we did in the first game. Game three, clean sweep, 21-0.
Ouch.
Series over. But we look around and we're like, everybody else is still on game two or three. So we've got one more in us. We just won't count this one. We'll play a fourth game. And they go, hey, yeah, why don't you use our bags this game? And I go, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll see how much of an advantage this gives you, right? So we'll see how much of an advantage your own bags, and they were very nice bags. A little bit heavier, a little bit more control under them. 21-0, we lost again. 21-0 again. So the bags played no difference whatsoever. And I'm just, At this point, I'm thinking to myself, Hunter, is this how it's going to be every week? I'm going to show up against somebody that has their own pair of bags, and they're going to wipe the floor with me in 20 minutes. It's not even going to be that enjoyable for me. And then I'm going to go home and go on with my life. Am I going to do that all summer every Wednesday? Because that's what I signed up for, and I paid money to be in this league, so I don't want to waste my time or my money, but I am now operating under the understanding that I am doing both of those things. I am both wasting my time and my money. Thoughts?
I mean, I wouldn't see it as wasting time because you've got that bonding experience with your girlfriend. This can be great for the two of you to reminisce about down the road.
Yeah, you're right.
But this is also the second summer now that you have joined some sort of a league just to get your ass kicked in it. Last summer it was volleyball.
Really,
this summer it was bags. Yeah. You need to understand that any bar league event has now evolved to the point of guys who either think they should have made it in college in whatever sport it was, whether it's they think they could have gone pro in baseball, so they're in beer league softball now, or they're super tall and we're like, yeah, I played basketball, but I think volleyball is fun. Or guys who were in a frat in college and took bags way too seriously, and then they still want to do that. So just stop joining these leagues. I understand that it's fun, but like, you've got to find something else the two of you can do together.
But then we're cracking up with a whole different can of worms, Hunter, because I don't have hobbies.
You're going to have to find something, and bar sports is not it. Like, you need to find something.
One of them. Do you think, like, I'm good at darts. I've always been good at darts. Do you think I should join a darts league, or am I going to get my ass kicked there, too?
You're going to get your ass kicked at the start of it. At least, like, go and play. Like, find somewhere that you know has a dartboard, but they don't have a league, and just be like, you know what? We're going to go every Tuesday night or something, and that's going to be our thing. Tuesday nights, we go out, and the two of us, we play darts. Until you feel confident enough where you're like, you know what, now it's good. But
I'm
you need the repetition
enough, but
from me.
You know me. I fake confidence all the time.
I'm trying to help you not get your ass kicked.
Today, after last week, I'm walking in there with a vengeance. Like, I'm walking in there locked in, dialed in, ready to respond like nobody's ever responded in the history of this cornhole league.
You're going to get offered your first two matches.
Right, I'm going to score 3 points all night. That's what I'm struggling with. So I don't have hobbies. This is an excuse to get outside in the summer and have a hobby. Whether or not I'm good at it is beside the point. Clearly I'm not. So that's just, it has completely taken over my brain the last 7 days. How do I show up and be better than last week? Because I got absolutely smoked. I imagine not every team, it's a 12-team league. I imagine not every duo in this 12-team league is in four bags leagues all week. It's insane to me that the couple we played week one is, like, amazing. I hope, we'll find out. I'll report back on Friday. But I really hope we don't have a redo of last week. Joseph on the YouTube chat, ESPN Madison, says, my thoughts, find a place that offers beginners-level weekly swing dance lessons for you and your gal. See, I got two left feet. Even if it's beginner, I'm going to be behind. And the lady has a dance background, a professional dancing background. No, she wasn't a stripper. She has a professional dancing background. And so she would smoke me. She would smoke me. Like, world champ growing. Yeah.
But that's not a competition. And then you're doing something that she has a passion for. That's a great, no, Joseph's right. I think you need to go and do dance. Like, she's obviously going to be far above beginner stuff. But if you put that effort in and you're like, we're going to go and do this because I want to do something that I know you obviously loved because you did it at a professional level, then, you're boyfriend of the year. Like, that's the route you need to go.
Yeah.
Joseph's got
it. She made it to the NBA way before me. I don't know that I ever will, but she made it to the NBA way before me. So I don't know, man. I don't want to embarrass myself like that. I can't fall flat on my face like that. So anyway, I'll report back Friday with how it went. Maybe we'll win tonight, and maybe I'll come back total rebirth on Friday when it comes to my confidence towards this cornhole league. So we will see. Speaking of a rebirth, hatred is back, man. Hatred is so back. Pissed off people are so back. Anger is back. So is Craig Council in Milwaukee. Craig Council on Memorial Day returns to Milwaukee for the first time as the Chicago Cubs manager after leaving in the offseason for a bajillion dollars. Who can blame him? He goes to the arch rival. Now he returns back to Milwaukee, where he claimed he was a Milwaukee guy. His son just won a state championship last summer for Whitefish Bay High School. Right? This is a Milwaukee guy. And he turned his back on Milwaukee by going to their arch rival in the offseason. So what does Milwaukee do? They boo all over him on Monday at American Family Field. The Cubs win last night in 10 innings, and the Boo Birds were still out. Rightfully so. However, as I continue to grow up and mature, I think after this series we can get over it. I understand why people hate his guts. I understand why people think what he did is absolutely unbelievable and absolutely indefensible and absolutely, you know, against every moral that somebody who claims they're a Milwaukee guy should have. But, yeah, I like it. If I was there this week, I'd boo him. After this week, I think I'm over it. I have a hard time holding a grudge against a coach the same way I would a player. Right? Let's think back to the late 2000s, early aughts, when Brett Favre joined the Minnesota Vikings. When he was essentially pushed out of Green Bay to New York, and after one season, got out of New York, went to Minnesota. That was bad. I for a guy that would have had a million options of teams to wind up on, to go back to the arch rival in the Minnesota Vikings, and to come to Green Bay wearing purple and gold, that's a tougher one to get over for me than Craig Council, as a manager, leaving Milwaukee for a better job. A team that will spend more money in free agency. A team that offers him a much better lifestyle when it comes to the financial part of it. I get this move. Yeah, I'm pissed off about it. And yeah, I don't like he did it. But I think we're almost to the point where it is what it is. I'm not rooting for him. Obviously not rooting for him. In fact, I am strongly rooting against him. But it's more so the fact that he's the manager of the Cubs than the fact that he left Milwaukee to become the manager of the Cubs. That's my issue with it, Hunter.
You know, I understand the argument of, you know, Chicago's going to spend more to try and win a World Series than the Brewers will. I understand that. But I think we need to stop this, like, extra financial security thing. They were offering him to be the highest paid manager in baseball already. The Brewers were. Chicago gave him, like, $8 million more dollars a year. Like, there's a certain point, I feel like, when you reach a dollar amount, where like $8 million really isn't that big of a difference. Like, you're not actually changing what your life, but not when you're making $40 million a year or whatever, and however much he made as a player. Like, I don't think that he actually notices a lifestyle difference because of the $8 million. I don't think any player like even really does.
Yeah, you do.
I don't think you actually do.
The difference between. I think it can be the difference between a massive amount of wealth and generational wealth. I just view it that way, right? Like, I understand regular human beings like me and you. Yes, $8 million is completely life-changing. And you're right. To him, maybe it's only a small difference, but I think it adds up very quickly. And it's not like this is going to be a short-term fling for the Chicago Cubs and Craig Council. CC and CC. This is going to be a long-term thing. And obviously, the one goal he really wants to do as a manager that he hasn't done yet is not only get to, but win a World Series. And I don't know that was ever a realistic thing in Milwaukee. I think he was the manager when it was, but I as good as the Brewers have been this year, and as fun and as electric as they've been this year, I don't have them in the World Series. I don't even know if I have them winning a playoff series. They can certainly win the NL Central, but there's a ton of season left. I understand the hate, and I understand the vitriol, and I understand the boo birds. I get all of it. But I think there's going to be a point where we say, all right, what he did for us was pretty good. He was the manager of the best stretch that we've seen ever from this franchise. He was the man. He's the winningest manager in our franchise's history. He was a really good player. He was a good player when he was here. He transitioned to that front office role. He grew up in the building around the Brewers. He's a Milwaukee guy. And I have a hard time thinking that that will ever change, despite the fact that he stabbed us in the back. And maybe I'm just a softy, and maybe I'm just too kind and understanding to Craig Counsell. But yeah, I'm a little pissed off he did it, and I always will be. But I don't think we need to completely exile him, if you will, from Milwaukee and the things that he accomplished here, because he accomplished more than anybody ever has in the position as a manager. And he was part of some really fun teams as a player. Obviously won a World Series as a player, not in Milwaukee. But where is he going to have the better chance to do that as a manager? Is it going to be in Milwaukee or Chicago? Because there is a correct answer. And it's not Milwaukee. That's my view on it. So, we'll see. Hopefully they can win the series, though. Two games left. One tonight, one tomorrow afternoon. And look, this Brewers team is fun, man. Wasn't so fun last night, though, as they were getting no-hit through, I think it was 7 innings. But you know who saved the day from that no-hitter, Hunter? Did you see who saved it?
Your boy, Salvatore.
Salvatore, thy savior. Yeah, no doubt. Salvatore Frelick. Salvatore, thy savior always. 100 days away from the Packers opener in Brazil against the Philadelphia Eagles. 100 days from today. We are 99 days away from the season opener, the Thursday. But just 100 days away from the Packers being the first NFL team, well, first of two NFL teams, to play in Brazil on that Friday night. Still not loving that, by the way, might I add. A Friday night kickoff of the season. Yeah, I don't know how much I mean, look, it's the Packers. It's football. It's the NFL. What am I going to do that Friday night? I'm going to drink some Door County Distillery and watch the game. But we're only 100 days away. I mean, we are what? What is that? What's the math on that? 12 weeks, 13 weeks away from the start of the NFL season, especially for the Green Bay Packers, which, I mean, how can't you just get fired up about that? Tomorrow is double digits. That's really exciting. Until we see the Green Bay Packers on the field. They are back on the field at OTA practice today. This one, again, open to the media, so we will see some reports coming through on a couple different things. Now, for the first time as a Packer, Josh Jacobs practicing, at least in front of the media. And I got to tell you what, Wes Hotkiewicz from Packers.com, which does a great job covering the team for the team website, He posted a video of Josh Jacobs just catching a ball and running. You know, they're not in pads. They're just wearing helmets and shorts. He's wearing number 8. And I'm legitimately having PTSD from Amari Rodgers. Like, that's the only guy I could picture in that jersey running a route is Amari Rodgers. And as we know, the Amari Rodgers experiment in Green Bay did not go well at all. It went, in fact, very poorly. So seeing Josh Jacobs in a Green Bay Packers number 8 jersey is really freaking me out. It just makes me think of Amari Rodgers. But it's cool to see Josh Jacobs, right? Like, it's setting in that the Packers have one of the best running backs in the NFL in their backfield. And you can make the case they already did a year ago with Aaron Jones. But this is an upgrade. Don't think anything else of it. I think with what he'll be able to do with Jordan Love, in that backfield is going to be really electric. And assuming, and look, you can never assume progression in the National Football League, but assuming that the wide receivers and the tight ends take at least a tiny step forward from what they did in a majority of their rookie years last year, this offense is going to be terrific. We talked last Monday, we walked through it in its entirety in the NFC North. The offensive position groups, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, we ranked each of the NFC North teams 1-4. You can find that video in full on the ESPN Madison YouTube page, or go back in the Mr. Relevant podcast feed. It was last Monday's episode, so the 20th of May, where we ranked each offensive position group in the NFC North. Today is the day we look at the defense. Where do the Packers stack up against a Detroit defense that was pretty darn good a year ago and it improved this offseason? How do they stack up against the Chicago Bears, who had a pretty good offseason and a pretty good defense a year ago? Where do the Vikings fit in? They made a lot of moves in the offseason as well. We will get to those rankings coming up next, but first, got to tell you about my friends from Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, and award-winning spirits made locally in Carlsville, Door County. It is awesome, man. If you head up to Door County now, the weather's getting pretty, you got to stop in. Do the samples, do the tastings, do the tour. Check out all the selections, a few of which you can only get at Door County Distillery. I'm about to tell you about the brandies and the whiskeys and the vodkas that you can find at retailers all over the state. But there are some things that are Door County Distillery exclusive. So if you pop in, if you're going up there at any time this summer, make sure you get up there. Tell them I sent you. And it is just, it's so worth your time. So make sure you check it out. But right now on the screen, on the YouTube stream, you can scan for their website, Unique Cocktail Recipes, huge list, even some of the ones we created up there a couple weeks ago. You can get that on their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. You can also find the retailer nearest you. Cherry brandy, cherry vodka, award-winning single malt whiskey, award-winning bourbon, award-winning rye whiskey. Check it out, DoorCountyDistillery.com, or scan the QR code on your screen right now. Back in 60 seconds to take a look at the NFC North defenses. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strofe. I'm back at the legendary Door County Distillery with the legendary Beth.
Hi.
Nothing bigger right now than espresso martinis and confession. I've never had one, Beth, so I think I need you to teach me how to make one.
It's real simple. With ours, we do our Java infusion, which is our coffee-infused spirit, our vodka, some chocolate sauce, and some coconut cream, so it's dairy-free for those who can't have lactose. We're going to start with 2.5 ounces of our Java, because this is a martini, so lots of booze.
Yes!
1.5 of our vodka, about 1/2 ounce of your chocolate syrup, and your coconut cream, or cream if you prefer. Shake this for about 15 seconds.
She's a pro. I'd spill everywhere.
Strain that into our martini glass. There we go. Quick and easy espresso martini.
Time to try it. First ever espresso martinis. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, that's delicious. That's really good. I'm an espresso martini girly now. Yeah, no doubt.
Who isn't?
Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com. Bang! DoorCountyDistillery.com for our friends at Door County Distillery. All right, let's get into it, looking at the defenses of the NFC North. We will do, again, 5 position groups. We will do defensive line, which is mostly interior defensive line, because we're going to make edge rusher its own category. Some teams, depending on the base defense, that's a defensive end, that's an outside linebacker. So we're going to go defensive line, edge, inside linebacker, cornerback, safety will be our 5 positional groups. Hunter, let's switch it up. I'm going to do a reverse order. I'm going to start with the safeties, and I'm going to work my way inside.
Okay.
Is that okay for you or no?
I mean, I had things planned another way, but yeah, we can do that.
Okay, you know what? Never mind. We'll do it your way. We'll do it your way. Hunter, pick the positional group. We'll start there.
Okay. Let's start with the edge rushers, the exciting position group.
Yeah, this one's tough because there's a couple different ways to look at this, right? Like, when you look at the big primetime players across the division, this is the positional group that has them. Detroit, Aiden Hutchinson. Chicago, Montez Sweat. Green Bay, Rashawn Gary. In Minnesota, they took a bunch of swings in the offseason this year. They got Jonathan Greener from Houston, Andrew Van Ginkle from Miami, and they drafted Dallas Turner out of Alabama. So Minnesota, we have no idea what that's going to look like because all 3 of them have never played in a Vikings uniform. For Chicago, Montez Sweat is paired with DeMarcus Walker. For Detroit, Aiden Hutchinson paired with Marcus Davenport. I mentioned Green Bay, Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, and Lucas Van Ness. So just because of the name, I'm going to put Detroit 1 here, just because I think Aiden Hutchinson has, I don't know, commanded that respect as one of the best edge rushers, not only in the North, but in the NFL. I'll put Detroit 1. I think I'm going to go Chicago 2, Green Bay 3, Minnesota 4, but I'm not married to that order yet. I'm not married to that. I think that's what I'm going to go with, though. Minnesota's interesting, but I think they still belong in 4 just because we don't know what it looks like yet. And Dallas Turner, man, he was the 3rd defensive player drafted. He was drafted 17th overall. I know we're like a month and a half, maybe about a month removed from the NFL draft, so we forget how weird and historic this NFL draft was in terms of offensive players. Dallas Turner was viewed as a bona fide top 10 pick. He fell to number 17. I think I'm comfortable with that, Hunter. Let's go Detroit 1, Chicago 2, Green Bay 3, Minnesota 4 for the edge rusher. Sexy position, a lot of big names in the NFC North. This is the tough part with these lists, is I'm not always fully comfortable with what I land on, but that's what I'm landing with. Detroit 1, Chicago 2, Green Bay 3, Minnesota 4. What's next?
Up next, we'll stick with kind of the similar position group. Let's go with the linebackers.
Yeah, we'll go with the linebackers here. This one's a little bit easier. Bears 1, TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Jack Sanborn. Shout out to the Badgers two times over there. But Tremaine Edmonds, debatably the best running linebacker in the NFC North, at least inside. So I'm good with the Bears 1. I think they just have a terrific cast of characters. Jack Sanborn has been a total steal for them. Undrafted free agent a couple of years ago. He's made some really nice plays for them. Actually, last year, I think, was his rookie year. So nice outing for him. Detroit will be 2. I think Jack Campbell was one of the biggest surprises in the NFC North a year ago. He was a first-round draft pick. People were a little bit critical of that, and then he had a really nice rookie year. Assuming, and again, like I said earlier, you can never assume progression in the NFL, but I will assume some progression for Jack Campbell. I will put Detroit at number 2 on this list. My bias is showing. I'm going to go Packers 3 here. I really like Quay Walker. We all know I have a huge, huge hope for a big year 3 jump for him in 2024. I'm going to go Quay Walker leading the Packers core here. Now, obviously, there's a big question mark there, too, though, with Edgerrin Cooper being a rookie and likely a starter for this team. And Isaiah McDuffie's the 3rd. I like McDuffie. I think he's a great guy on special teams. I think he's a good depth piece at the linebacker position. I'll put the Packers 3. And once again, I'll put the Vikings 4th. Blake Cashman, Ivan Pace Jr., we like Ivan Pace. Hunter, I know we talked a little bit about him off the air. I like what Minnesota has going on there. Yeah, it's just not as sexy as the other 3 teams. Specifically, I mean, when you look at Chicago, they've got some big names after some big swings last offseason in that position group. I like what Chicago has at number 1. I think it's really a toss-up between Detroit and Green Bay for spot 2. I will give the edge to Detroit, and Minnesota will drop to number 4.
Yeah, I think it's so hard with this one when Chicago and Detroit have clearly set themselves. They've shown production in that room. Green Bay's had flashes of it from Quay. And then Minnesota, you're still kind of like guys who are like, oh, yeah, they're fine. You know, they're serviceable, but nobody's like, oh, yeah, he's a bona fide starter on almost any other team type of guy. Right. So it's hard to put them above 4 just because they could all of a sudden outperform everybody and be the best group.
Exactly.
But I don't see it happening from them.
And I think that's the group on the football field that is the most volatile, right? Like, I think you can go from being terrific to meh, back to terrific all in the course of a season. It's just, but look, I rank Minnesota last. Brian Flores, debatably, probably not even debatably, he's the best defensive coordinator in the division. So for Minnesota taking 2 fourth place votes, think about who's running that defense and how he's been able to elevate defenses over the year. He did a great job with the Minnesota defense last year. So it's something to keep in mind, but we're just going based off the players right now. What group is next?
We're going to go with the safeties next, the one you wanted to lead off with.
Yeah. This one's tough. I'll say this. I'm going to put Chicago first. Jaquan Brisker's a really good safety. Kevin Byard, who they acquired this offseason after he leaves Philadelphia, former Tennessee Titans All-Pro. He's older, but I like Byard. He's going to be their 2nd starter. I do have to bring up a depth piece for them at that position. Jonathan Owens, now a former Packer, spent last year in Green Bay, was okay for the Packers. Had a big play Thanksgiving Day against Detroit, but not a great season overall for him. He goes south to the Bears, but overall, their starters are really good. I got to go Detroit, too. Brian Branch had an amazing rookie year. Kirby Joseph is a very good safety. They have a very good 1-2 punch. And this is why I struggle with defense, because I think the Packers have the best name. Xavier McKinney is debatably, and maybe not even debatably, the best safety in the NFC North. But what the hell is going to happen next to him? I like the drafting of Javon Bullard. I like the pick out of Georgia. We know Goody loves his Georgia guys. But I struggle with him never playing an NFL game. And if it's going to be Anthony Johnson Jr., how much do you trust a second or seventh round pick, rather, from a year ago? And Harrison Smith, he just bugs me. And he's old, but he is a very good safety. Cameron Bynum, the other starter, according to ESPN.com. I'll put the Vikings once again fourth, although having the best defensive coordinator in the league. Chicago, Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota for the safeties, Hunter. Any gripes with that?
No, and it's probably because I just, every time I think about Jaquan Brisker, I think about that, what was it? I think it was week one against Penn State for the Badgers. And he had that late interception at the goal line, and he was just all over the field. And ever since then, I've just had like a player crush on him because he was just so good in that game. So I just, in my mind, Xavier McKinney could be the best safety in the division. But right now, for me, it's Jaquan Brisker. Like, I just think he's so good and so underrated. Like, no one talks about him as a top safety. And it blows my mind because he doesn't do anything bad. So I'm like,
I will agree. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. That one's tough because I also try to take into account the entire group, not just the top heavy part. I mean, I might have broken that rule when it came to the edge rushers, but when it comes to safeties, Xavier McKinney. I mean, the Packers group. The hard part with this too is you have no idea what the Packers defense looks like. They're changing scheme. They're changing base defense, at least to a point. They have a brand new defensive coordinator. This is why it's difficult to me. But I love Xavier McKinney. I think he was one of the best offseason pickups by any team at any position this offseason. So we will see. And as you're right, I am also a very big fan of Jaquan Brisker with Chicago. So I'm not loving how these rankings are shaking out because I haven't put the Packers first on anything, but the battle continues. What's next?
We're going to go back inside to interior defensive linemen.
Yeah. I struggle with this one, but I will go Packers one here. I think Kenny Clark is the best interior defensive lineman in the NFC North. It feels like he's been in the league a million years and he's, what, 28 years old, if that. Love Kenny Clark. I really liked the Devontae Wyatt first-round pick a couple years ago. He hasn't had a ton of opportunity. I think this year he will have a ton of opportunity. I think he'll be starting on that defensive line. Carl Brooks showed some really nice flashes last year as a mid-round pick. I think the Packers have the best overall group in the middle of the line. But I really do like Carl Brooks and the ability that he'll have this year to pop off the page and make some plays. Detroit's going to go two here. DJ Reader is a nice addition for them. I think he's going to plug it up. I mentioned at the top, Chicago and Detroit made some really nice additions this offseason on the defensive side of the football. I think this is one of the main ones for Detroit. So I will put Detroit two here. I will go, I'm going to go Minnesota three, Chicago four on the interior defensive line. Unless I'm missing something with Chicago, none of those names pop out to me, right? I look at guys like Harrison Phillips and Jerry Tillery from Minnesota, and at least you know they're able to create some damage. I just don't know a ton about Chicago. So maybe I'm missing something, and let me know in the comments if I am. But I love what they're able to do here. I love what Green Bay is able to do here at the interior defensive line. Sorry, I'm reading like a million things at once. I got both YouTube chats in front of me who are tossing in. I love seeing it. Keep them coming on your thoughts and some of this stuff. But Yeah, I'm good with that. Let's go Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota, Chicago. I'm good with it. Lock it in.
Okay, and we have one more, the cornerback position.
Yeah, we do. All right. This is. This is easy. You can go Minnesota four. Go ahead and slot that in. I'm comfortable with that. Lock it in. I like Byron Murphy Jr., by the way. We'll see what he becomes. I think you got to go Detroit one. And look, I'm going to break my own rule here, because I am bringing a rookie into account. Carlton Davis is a good corner. Terrion Arnold was a nice pickup in the draft out of Alabama. I really liked him. I was hoping the Packers would snag him. Tarion Arnold, I will give Detroit the edge. I will go Green Bay, too. I think they probably have the best corner when healthy, and Jair Alexander, who you see on the screen. But I really struggle with that because I do like the duo of Jalen Johnson, Tyrique Stevenson. But the way that folks have talked about Eric Stokes and the way he's returning to health and what we saw to Carrington Valentine a year ago when Jair was missing several games, I think you feel pretty comfortable about where this group is at. If they still have Rasul Douglas, I think they're number one in the division. So I will go Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota for this one. Whoa, I think I ranked Minnesota last for just about everyone. Yeah, Chicago might be ahead of them. No, I'm good with that. Let's go Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota. I think you give the tie to the best player, and I view Jair Alexander as the best player at that position. All right, those are your five position groups. Hunter, we did it this way with the offense. Let's do it again, assuming you were keeping track with the defense. We're looking for golf scores. So the lowest score wins, ranks number one, and obviously the highest score takes last place. Let's start with fourth place.
In fourth place, the Minnesota Vikings with 19 strokes.
Whoa, 19. That's a lot. Yeah, yes. That's a lot.
Opening up with back-to-back fours was not a good start for them.
No, it was not.
In third.
A couple of bogeys right off the rip. Yeah, go ahead.
With third place. 12. The Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Which then puts in second the Chicago Bears at 11. And then
because it was a 1 point separation again.
Yes. 1 point between the two. Then Detroit, you only gave them 8 strokes. Their worst score, you gave them 3 twos, and then you had 2 ones for them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So I guess if we're going to have a takeaway from the exercise we've done over the course of the last 2 weeks between the offense and the defense, Detroit is the best team in the division. They were single-digit strokes for both exercises. The other takeaway is I had the Packers 1 point better than the Bears offensively. And now I have the Bears 1 point better than the Packers defensively, which I guess with this exercise tells you, at least from a positional group standpoint, and this doesn't take into effect coaching, this doesn't take into effect special teams, the Bears and Packers are very similar teams. Now, I think there are more question marks with the Bears, given that they have a rookie quarterback who has never played an NFL game. But through the course of this 2 week exercise between offense and defense, the Packers and Bears are tied. That's fascinating. And Minnesota, far and away the worst team in the division. I don't know that that's a surprise. But that is interesting. I see, I don't know how to say his name, Rat G's, that looks like on YouTube, said he would take the duo of McKinney and Bullard over Brisker and Byard. I think it's close, but I think the experience for Brisker and Byard is why I gave them the edge. I like Jaquan Brisker. I think he is a high ceiling. And I like Kevin Byard. I just think he's past his prime. Like I said multiple times, I think Xavier McKinney is likely the best safety in the division. And Javon Bullard is just a huge question mark. So anyway, the takeaways from this exercise, Detroit the best team in the division, Green Bay and Chicago very similar offensively and defensively, at least when it comes to rankings across the NFC North. Now, this is not an NFC at-large rankings, right? Because I think the margins become a lot thinner then. But overall, that is interesting through this exercise, Hunter. What do you think? I mean, we went through the offense, we went through the defense. This is what it came down to. We have the Packers and Bears tied. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, and I think it shows how important head coaching is in the NFL. Because I think if we were to power rank the head coaches in the division, you're going to go probably... Are you putting Campbell 1 or are you putting LaFleur 1? Because those two are going to go 1-2, and then it's...
Yeah.
So that
I would put LaFleur 1. I would put LaFleur 1, Campbell 2.
Yeah, my frustration with Campbell is the fact that he just always has to prove that he has the biggest pair in the stadium. and decides he needs to go to two, go for two and go for it on fourth down all the time. Like, dude, you have a punter. You can kick field goals. It's okay. Like,
you do have a kicker.
Like, if he did that a little bit more, he's, one, probably playing in a Super Bowl, but then, two, like, he wouldn't have lost on Monday night to the Cowboys and all of that. So it's like, that's my issue with him as a head coach. But again, the skill of a head coach really determines this, because I think the margin in most divisions in the NFL is very slim. Like, we were hard on the Vikings defense here, but they also have potentially the second, maybe worst coach in this division. So that doesn't help things in the way that they get perceived. So if you have a good coach, even if your position group maybe isn't actually as good as what it is, they're going to make up for that. And I think that's what we see with Green Bay and Detroit, where, I mean, we saw it in the comments on when we posted the video from last week of fans being very upset about it. But yeah, we're going to perceive it differently because Detroit and Green Bay are better coached teams than Chicago and Minnesota are.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah, I would probably put O'Connell ahead of Eberflus, but it's very close. I think both of them just haven't had enough time to prove. And now Minnesota going through a rebuild, seemingly. Chicago just got through one. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. LaFleur, though, I only say that because now he's done it with two quarterbacks. He's won playoff games with two quarterbacks. Detroit, they've only been to one NFC Championship game. LaFleur's been to two.
But Dan Campbell's...
That's just why I would...
Dan Campbell's also winning with Jared Goff. So, like,
I think Jared Goff's a good quarterback.
He's fine, but Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers are better than Goff. Great.
So
is Jamarcus Russell.
I agree.
The number one overall pick does not mean anything about your quality of a quarterback in the NFL. When Ryan Leaf and Jamarcus Russell are out there, that goes out the window. You can't talk about them and just being like
15 years ago.
Andrew Luck. Jared Goff was drafted 10 years ago. Like, what are we talking about?
Has it been that long already? No.
Pretty close.
But Jared Goff's been to a Super Bowl. He's now been to another NFC Championship game. He might be a system quarterback. He might be a game manager. But good game managers are worthwhile. Look at the success San Francisco continues to have with Mr. Irrelevant. And I'm not talking about me. Right? Brock Purdy just led them to a Super Bowl. So I think Jared Goff is a good quarterback. I think he deserves more respect than he gets. I would put him, I'd have to sit down and do it, but probably top 12 in the NFL. I would imagine Love is right there as well. I would probably put Love one spot ahead of Goff. I think that margin is incredibly close. And I think that's pretty much what I said when we ranked the offense last week. So that's the direction I would go. All right. Fun exercise. I enjoyed that. 100 days to kick off. We just got to do a few more exercises over the course of the next few months. Fun exercise, though. There you go. There's your bow on the NFC North. Packers and Bears tied. Ugh, I don't like that. To the NBA we go. One team has punched their ticket to the NBA Finals. That is the Boston Celtics with a clean sweep over the Indiana Pacers. That means former Bucks point guard, just one season out of Milwaukee, is back in the NBA Finals. Drew Holiday heads back to the championship series with his new team in Boston. Despite a loss last night, the Dallas Mavericks still hang on to a 3-1 lead over the Minnesota Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. The Mavericks, by the way, coached by former Bucks head coach Jason Kidd. One win away from the NBA Finals for the former Bucks head coach. Now, let's remember, the head coaching position of the Bucks hasn't been the friendliest the last couple of months. Mike Budenholzer, just 2 years after winning a title, axed. I forgot the guy's name already, who got fired during the year. I just unfollowed him on Twitter this morning. It's not even a joke. Adrian Griffin, out after, what was it, 35 games? And now Doc Rivers getting killed because he wasn't able to elevate this team despite some of the injuries in the offseason, but Doc Rivers still the head coach of the Bucks. Jason Kidd was the coach of the Bucks before all of that. And now you have the opportunity to see two guys the Bucks moved on from, in Jason Kidd and Drew Holiday, face off in the NBA Finals. I'm rooting for Drew Holiday every day of the week, but it is impossible for me to root for the Boston Celtics. It's a team I hate a lot. They're probably in my top 10 most hated sports teams. But Drew Holiday is probably in my top 10 most beloved athletes. I love Drew Holiday. He's fun to watch. He's a terrific teammate. He was terrific when he was a Milwaukee Buck. I do struggle with that. So, Hunter, I ask you as a Bucks fan, who do you root for in the NBA Finals if we get Jason Kidd versus Drew Holiday?
I can't cheer for the Celtics. Like, I have grown up despising the Celtics. My dad was a Bucks fan, always has been, and the Celtics beat the Bucks in the playoffs in the 80s and won all those titles. So I've grown up just never liking the Celtics, unless they were playing against the Lakers. That was the only time I would ever cheer for them. So I have to cheer for Jason Kidd. And it's also like the fan of chaos in my mind. Like, Jason Kidd goes somewhere else and wins a title after all that's gone on. Like, that'd just be way too funny. Like, I kind of want that to happen just to see what the reactions around the state would be of that happening. So I'm going with Jason Kidd. Plus, it's a Dallas team. I like the Cowboys. Like, I'm fine with all the other Dallas teams, so I'd like it.
Fair point. I forgot your Cowboys tie. I guess you would like that. Luka, dude, is amazing. Kyrie is still so much fun to watch on the basketball court. And like, yeah, the Jason Kidd angle's fun. I like chaos. And Jason Kidd, in a season where the Bucks were in second place in their conference and fired their head coach and brought in Doc Rivers, whose big thing was he could never get it done in the big game, to then see Jason Kidd go win a title, that could be pretty fun. I like chaos. All right. You learn something new every day. I learned something new over the weekend. Time now for What's Stroff Learn. And in spirit of the Boston Celtics punching their ticket to the NBA Finals, I saw something that I didn't realize. So in 2016, with the third overall pick, the Celtics selected Jaylen Brown. In the 2017 draft, with the third overall pick, the Celtics selected Jason Tatum in the NBA draft. I did not realize, though, Hunter, that the 2016 NBA draft and the 2017 NBA draft had the same draft order for the top four teams. In both the 16 and 17 draft, the Philadelphia 76ers had the number one overall pick. The Los Angeles Lakers had the number two overall pick. The Boston Celtics had the number three overall pick. And the Phoenix Suns had the number four overall pick. Same order of the top four picks in both drafts. And boy, oh boy, did the Celtics make out way prettier than everybody else. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum at the number three spot in both drafts. Number one overall was the Sixers, as I mentioned. They picked in back-to-back years with the number one overall pick, Ben Simmons and Markel Fultz. Neither of those worked out in Philly. The Lakers selected in 2016 with the number two pick, Brandon Ingram, who's a good player, just not a Laker anymore. And in 2017, it was Lonzo Ball with the number two overall pick.
Hang on. The Ingram thing, though, they used him to get Anthony Davis. And while it might be a Mickey Mouse title because they won it in the bubble, that did get the Lakers a title. So that'll give them a pass on.
Okay, fair enough. And then number four overall, this one's just brutal. The Suns, Dragan Bender and Josh Jackson with the number four overall pick in each of those years. So
wait, who is that right first one for the Suns? Who is that
is
first
it Dragan
one?
Dragan Bender?
It is definitely not Dragan. You think some parent named their child Dragan. Dragan,
Strong. I'm pretty sure that's his name.
Dragan.
Is that Dragan Bender, okay.
You thought they named him Dragan. What, they're big Game of Thrones fans? Just going to name their kid Dragan. God, you're an idiot.
That's what I thought. All right, that does it for us today. We're back with you Friday beginning at 12:30 on the ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison YouTube pages. And, of course, Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery, available wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand. Just search Mr. Relevant. Will be your first option on any of your podcast feeds. I think, which one died? Spreaker? No, not Spreaker. One of them is no longer one of the podcast outlets that people use a lot of. So, yeah, I don't even know what I'm saying. Of course, I end the show on an awkward note. Very like me. We'll talk to you on Friday. Mr. Relevant, I'm Alex Strove. Peace.